Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be in part five, which will be the last part, part five of a series that we began a little while back that is entitled Words Truly Matter. Words truly matter in the area of religion, in the area of Christianity. And if you've been with us during this series, we started out part one, taking a look at two little words that literally, launched the Reformation back in the 1500s. The Catholic Church taught that the Bible and church tradition are the authority, equal authority. The Catholic Church taught that a person saved by grace and merit through faith and their works through Christ and the sacramental system. And therefore, when it comes to who gets the glory, it's God and the Catholic Church. Well, the reformers said, no, not this and stuff. The reformers taught that the Bible alone is our sole authority. And that in the Bible, we see how a person is truly saved. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and all to the glory of God alone. Two small, seemingly insignificant words, and alone. And as you can see, those two words make a huge difference, right? Or are vastly different in that context, right? So that was part one of our series. We took a look at the Reformation. Part two of our series, we took a look at the word righteousness. I mean, you see that word everywhere in the Bible. And the idea there is, how can we as sinful humans be righteous in the sight of a holy, pure God? Well, the Catholic Church taught and still teaches what's called infused righteousness. That when a baby in the Catholic Church is baptized, he or she has some of God's righteousness poured in or infused into that person. They teach that baptism erases original sin, and then it's up to the Catholic person, along with the help of the Catholic Church, to keep that inherent righteousness going and growing through various different means that the Roman Catholic Church requires, with the hope that one day, when that person is standing before God, that God will declare that he or she is righteous in God's eyes, because the Catholic Church taught and teaches infused righteousness. Well, the Bible teaches what's called imputed righteousness, where God credits or imputes the righteousness of Christ to our account. So that God declares about a Christian now that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, not because of our supposed inherent righteousness, but rather because of the perfect imputed righteousness of Christ credited to our account. Again, two different words in the realm, in the area of righteousness, infused or imputed. Part three of our series, we took a look at Jesus and we took a look at two words. That Jesus is Lord, or you need to make Jesus Lord. Make Jesus your Lord. Now again, you hear that preached all the time. You need to make Jesus Lord. Wait a second. As we saw in part three of our series, throughout the scriptures, Jesus is already Lord. You don't make him Lord. You submit to him as Lord and Savior. Again, two seemingly insignificant words, is and make. Jesus is Lord, or you make Jesus Lord. Do you see the difference? Well, last time, part four, we took a look at this area of the atonement. Who did Christ die for? Did he die for his people, or did he die for all people? Did he die for his people, the elect, or did he die for all people, meaning everyone? And we took a look throughout Scripture, where it's very clear that Jesus atoned for the sins of his sheep, the elect, and that Christ's atonement was an actual atonement, not a potential atonement for everyone, but no one is actually saved until they make the decision, and then supposedly the atonement of Christ kicks into them, which again is not biblical. And so we have seen in this series, and we've just taken a look at a few examples. I could keep this series going on for a year at least, because there are so many words, religious words, tossed around without thought, without really working through the theological ramifications. So many words are tossed around in the area of religion, in the area of Christianity, that we have to be careful, because words truly matter. And today will be part five and the final part of our series, where we're going to be taking a look at the area of the Bible. And now, here's the test question. The Bible, here's the key word, is the Word of God, or the Bible, here's the key word, contains the words of God. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible contains the Word or words of God. What do you think? You better not say that one, that the Bible contains. Because you've just watered down the Bible, and basically what you're saying is, yeah, the Bible contains some of God's authoritative words sprinkled in there. But the rest? You've got the words of Moses. You've got the opinions of Paul. You've got... Do you see? My friend, the Bible is the Word of God. It is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative Word of God. It doesn't simply contain some of God's words, where some of the Bible is authoritative because it's actually God's words, but the other parts of the Bible really are not authoritative. They're just good kind of like moral lessons because they come straight from humans. Again, whoever believes that the Bible simply contains God's words, they have stripped the Bible of its authority. Basically, they have denied the inspiration, inerrancy, infallibility, and authority of God's word. And again, you hear in Bible colleges, seminaries, from church pulpits, people say, yeah, the Bible contains God's words. Okay, which part are God's words and which part are man's words? Do you see it? Turn with me real quick to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verses 16 and 17. What does the Bible clearly declare about itself? 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God, is God-breathed. Notice, all. All Scripture is inspired by God. Therefore, because God is perfect, that which God inspired is inerrant. And therefore, it is also infallible. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The Bible is crystal clear that all Scripture is inspired by God. Not some Scripture is inspired by God and thus contains some words of God, where the rest of the Scriptures are not inspired by God. They're just kind of, again, man's ideas. Do you see it? All Scripture is inspired by God, and therefore it is profitable for teaching, training, reproof, correction, training a person in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God is equipped for every good work that God has called that person to do. Now, we teach what those who are Bible-believing teachers and ministries teach. We teach what's called the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible, inspiration of God. Okay, Andrew, what does that mean? Well, plenary, you've probably heard that. Plenary means all, okay, totality of. So we see here that Scripture declares that all Scripture is inspired by God, right? Well, what about every word? There are those who say, okay, we believe that the totality, you know, the big idea, all the concepts are inspired by God, but not every word. Ooh, now they deny the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. Here in 2 Timothy, we see very clearly that all Scripture is inspired by God, right? All means every single word as well. And how do we know that? Just hop over to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Again, look what the Scriptures declare about the Scriptures. Look what God in His Word declares about His Word. Proverbs 30, look at verses 5 and 6. Every word is tested, is tried, is perfect. Every word. Not just all Scripture, but also every word in Scripture is inspired by God, right? That's the verbal, every word, plenary, all inspiration of Scripture. Every word is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Because all Scripture is inspired by God, because every word is inspired by God. Verse 6, do not add to His words. Don't add your human opinions. Or He, God, will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Do you see it? The Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't simply contain the words of God. Do you see the difference? Hop over to Psalm 12. Same thing. Look what the psalmist declares in the power of the Spirit. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord. Not just the totality of Scripture, but the words of the Lord are pure words. Well, that makes sense. If all Scripture, including every word, is inspired by God, and God is perfect, that means that that which God inspired is inerrant, without error, and infallible. And every word is God's authoritative word. And all of Scripture is God's authoritative word. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth refined seven times. Perfect! Hop over to Psalm 19. What else does the Bible say about the Bible? Starting in verse 7, the law of the Lord in its totality and every word is perfect. Well, that makes sense. If all Scripture is inspired by God, and therefore it restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, or sure, I should say. making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Do you see what Scripture declares about Scripture? I'll hop over to Psalm 119. And you'll see why I'm drilling you on this. Psalm 119.
Just read Psalm 119 on your own, and you will see clearly
the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. You will see the authority of God's Word. Verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven." Boy. That which God inspired in totality, as well as every word, is God's holy, authoritative Word of God. And it's settled in heaven. Boom. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't say, well, the Bible contains some of God's authoritative words, but also contains some of man's opinions. Don't ever do that. The Bible is the authoritative word of God. It is not something that simply contains God's words. Do you see the difference? Now, there are those, because they don't believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, they say that the Bible doesn't become the Word of God until you believe that it is. The Bible doesn't become the Word of God until you believe it. That is insane. Listen carefully. The Bible is the authoritative Word of God, whether somebody believes it or not. We don't come to the Bible as authorities over the Bible. We come to the Bible as servants, as slaves, in submission to the Word of God. Because the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God, and every Word is inspired by God, and God's Word is settled in heaven. It doesn't become the Word of God when man decides to believe that it is. No, it is the Word of God, whether anybody believes it or not. Just like Jesus Christ does not become Savior once somebody believes that Jesus is Savior. Jesus is the only Savior, whether somebody believes that or not. Make sense? Now, along those lines, again, words matter. I think you can see that, right? And you need to think about the churches you're attending or church you're attending. Well, some of you are probably churches. You need to think about what your church, what your elders in that church believe about the Word of God. Do they believe that it is the authoritative Word of God, or do they believe that it simply contains God's words? You need to listen so that you can understand what your church believes about God's Word. The Westminster Confession of Faith declares that the Holy Scriptures are the only infallible rule of faith and practice. Again, let's go back to 2 Timothy to show you what they're saying here, the Westminster Divines. Westminster Confession of Faith, written in the 1600s, and again, let's go back to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Here we go. All scripture is inspired by God. That means all in totality, including every word. You get that now. And because all scripture is inspired by God, here it is. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Make sense? Because the scriptures are the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative word of God, well, that's all we need to be able to live lives to the glory of God, right? We don't need the Bible plus human philosophy. We don't need the Bible plus the greatest, latest leadership trends and books. No, because the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative word of God, what we have in the Holy Scriptures is all we need to live lives according to God's will and all for God's glory, right? Well, the Westminster Confession of Faith declares that the scriptures are the only infallible rule of faith and practice. In other words, the Bible's never going to lead you to sin against God. The Bible will never fail to lead you according to God's will. Therefore, the Bible is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. Make sense? Okay. Well, a lot of religious institutions over the recent years have twisted that statement from the Westminster Confession of Faith. What they say is the Bible is only infallible when it refers to faith and practice. Do you see the difference? Westminster Confession of Faith, the Bible is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. Those who twist it, the Bible is only infallible when it refers to faith and practice. Do you see the difference? Words truly matter, don't they? Because those who teach that the Bible is only infallible when it refers to faith and practice, what they're saying is, as long as the Bible talks about the realm of religion, things about God, well, then that's okay. Then it's infallible. But if the Bible talks about anything with history, geography, science, concepts, and so forth, they say then it's not infallible. Do you see it? Because they declare the Bible's only infallible when it refers to faith and practice. Otherwise, all other areas of life, well, it's not the infallible, authoritative word of God. Do you see it? We deny that vehemently, what they say. The Bible is the only infallible rule of faith and practice because the Bible is the authoritative word of God. And when the Bible talks about history, God didn't make a mistake. When the Bible talks about geography, the Bible didn't make a mistake. When the Bible talks about concepts of science, God didn't make a mistake, right? And we know that which is in the scripture, not just when it talks about the realm of religion, but when it talks about all of life, we know that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative word of God. Let's go to the words of Jesus. John chapter 17. Look what Jesus prayed to the Father. John 17, verse 17. Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them, the elect, in the truth. Your word is truth. Notice Jesus didn't say your word contains some truth only when it refers to the area of faith and practice, realm of religion. Do you see it? No. Jesus prayed to the Father in that immediate context for the 11 apostles, but also extended to all believers in Jesus Christ. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Not your word contains some truth or your word becomes truth when someone believes it. No. Hop over to 1 Thessalonians and I'll conclude here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul in the power of the Spirit declares to the Thessalonians in verse 13, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Do you see it? Words truly matter, my friend. And friends, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible doesn't simply contain words from God. Big difference, right? So think about what you believe about the authoritative Word of God. Do you believe it's God's holy Word? Do you believe it is, and do you believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, that all Scripture is inspired by God, including every word? Or do you think something else? Because if you think something else, such as some of the, including some of the examples I gave today, then guess what? You deny what God clearly says about His Word. If in fact you don't have a firm foundation when it comes to God's Word, then everything else is shaky. Praise the Lord that He decided in His grace to reveal His truth to us. Now certainly He didn't reveal everything to us. Our brains would have exploded, right? But that which God revealed to us, we hold firmly to it. Because as the psalmist declared, it's greater than all the silver and gold in the world, more valuable than all of that. When I study God's word for my own soul care, and when I preach God's word to care for the souls of the people God's entrusted to me, whether I'm studying for myself or preaching to others, I have such extreme confidence that what I'm declaring or what I'm studying doesn't simply contain God's words. No, it is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative Word of God. Praise God. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.